The following is presented as an entertainment program emphasizing folklore. It is not intended as legal or medical advice in any way and should not be used to replace the advice of legal or medical professionals. Hello and welcome to the New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook episode for April of 2024. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. We highly recommend that you also pick up a reliable almanac for folk magic, such as Benabel Wen's Metaphysician's Day Planner, The Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn's Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. It's an eclipse special edition! This month we have a solar eclipse in North America on April 8th, which should be visible from a large portion of the continent, and will be the last solar eclipse visible from most of North America until 2044. So we'll mostly be focusing on that date and astronomical event for this episode, but we will hit a few highlight dates and lunar movements throughout the month as well. So, let's take a look at the moon for April 2024. Our new moon date will be April 8th, in Aries, which is also the sun sign, and the eclipse date, which makes sense since the eclipse is our view of the lunar shadow caused by the new moon passing in front of the sun. Our full moon date will be Tuesday the 23rd in the sign of Scorpio. This full moon is often known as the Pink Moon, and there's even a Nick Drake song with that name that you could listen to on that day. Some astrological info for the month. This month begins with the moon waning in the sign of Capricorn and then moves quickly through Aquarius and Pisces over the first week. With the building eclipse anticipation, this is a good time to prepare any work that will involve shadows. That might be interior work, underworld journeying, divination, contact with or honoring of the dead, or even dream work. The last quarter waning moon is on the 2nd, which would mark a good turning point for really focusing on those shadow workings. The eclipse comes on April 8th, first passing North America by way of western Mexico a little before 10 a.m. local time, and will continue over the continent until it leaves Newfoundland in eastern Canada a bit after 4 p.m. local time. We'll have a link in our show notes to help you find the timing for your specific location from the website timeanddate.com. Some people are hesitant to work with eclipses, and indeed, much of the folklore around them tends to see them as a sort of portent of potential ill. This may have something to do with myths and legends about the sun being swallowed as a precursor to an apocalypse, as well as the eerie silence and sudden temperature drop that occurs if you're in the path of totality. The eclipse is caused by the moon's shadow passing between the Earth and the sun, meaning this has to occur at a new moon for the full shadow to be present, and thus eclipse work is amplified new moon work in some ways. If you have a divination tool you like to work with, letting it get exposed to eclipse light might be a way to charge it with a particularly strong divination energy, although it may also give your tool an apocalyptic bent too. Similarly, banishment work should be the strongest on this date, meaning that if you have something you really want to banish from your life, throwing it into the void of an absent sun is a pretty good way to get rid of it. This is a new moon also in Aries, making it a fiery, assertive sign fused with the sudden darkness. Spells of conquest or destruction might be empowered here, but may have unexpected consequences. Similarly, since this is the sign that rules the head, this is a potent time to do confusion spells or infuse tools used in spells of confusion or mind-bending with power. If you have a jar of poppy seeds, for example, letting them catch the shadows and light of the eclipse might give them a particular oomph when doing spells later. Since Mercury will also be in retrograde during the sign of Aries from the 3rd to the 23rd of the month, that would also be another reason for amplification of confusion work or ingredients. One of the oldest ways to watch an eclipse was to hold a dish of water very still and watch it pass through the reflection on the water's surface. That would be a great way to catch some of the eclipse's power and bottle it for later use as well. As to the rest of the month, the moon hits its first waxing quarter on the 15th in the sign of Cancer. Rebuilding from the void of the eclipse, this is a time for restoration and home building. If you banished things from your life earlier in the month, it would be a good time to set some wards or bless your home and keep those things from returning. It's also a fruitful sign and a good time to put in some of your late spring and early summer garden or graft some fruit trees. The moon will continue to grow through Leo, Virgo, and Libra until it becomes full in Scorpio on the 23rd. This is another fruitful sign, and a great time to make sure to fertilize and nurture your soil. It's also a good time to do some water-based magic, such as magical bathing. The month ends with the moon beginning to wane through Sagittarius and Capricorn before finally making one last turn to Aquarius on the 30th, which will make it a good time to do a bit of housekeeping, record keeping, journaling, and documenting of your garden, magical practice, or anything else that you need to track. Have a wonderful lunar month. Enjoy the eclipse carefully. Remember, do not look directly at it. And stay safe, both magically and otherwise. Now we'll take a look at cards, divination, and a proverb for the month. Each month, Lane and I will pull a card for one another, one playing card and one tarot or oracle card. We'll indicate the meanings of those cards in general, and then read them for the other person, specifically as a way to get a sense of how they are read in actual practice. This month, I'm actually pulling a card from the Deviant Moon deck, Mildred Payne's Oracle of Black Enchantment, since we're playing in the shadows anyway, and this deck always gives me some particularly salty results. For Lane, I got card 32, The Grave. This depicts a skeletal figure in a black dress buried in a coffin under the earth. Above the coffin's resident, four pairs of feet seem to be dancing or prancing overhead. This card can be read with a shadow meaning of death, confinement, and feeling trapped or isolated. A lighter reading leans into hibernation and a period of recharging and refreshment. In this eclipse season for Lane, I say, ¿por qué no los dos? This seems to say that there's something that has her feeling trapped or confined, and she knows how to break free of it, but it may be very difficult to advance her cause. She's gathering her strength now, and she'll need to use that stored energy to staunchly stand up for what she wants and pursue it with determination. It may mean getting a little dirty. Clawing one's way out of the grave tends to be that way, but it's the only way to join the dance going on just out of reach and find her place in the sun.
For Corey's card pull this month, I returned to my Rider-Waite tarot deck and drew the Nine of Pentacles. The image on the card depicts a woman in her garden, surrounded by grapes growing on vines, and nine pentacles arranged in the bushes. She holds a hooded falcon perched on her hand, while the other is entwined in the grapevine. She holds the sky in one hand and the earth in another, making herself what lies between. She isn't in a liminal space, she is the liminal space. This card signifies success, abundance, and discipline to attain those things. Honestly, seeing this card come up in a general reading for Corey is really nice to see. The end of last year was a tumultuous one, so to see this card felt like a reassurance that Corey was reaching an equilibrium.
For folk divination this month, we're actually just going to share a bit of eclipse lore. From the Frank C. Brown Collection of North Carolina Folklore, we find a commonly repeated refrain that when the sun goes into eclipse, it is the sign of some great disaster to come. There are also some notes that say an eclipse is the sun and moon jumping over one another. And we have a note from the Frank C. Brown Collection that when the sun is eclipsed, one should have a basin of water arranged so that the sun is reflected from the water to a mirror in your eyes, and you'll see the moon chasing itself around the sun. We also have some notes about what eclipses portend in terms of weather. One notes storms and wind in the Green Collection, and Manitoba belief says that an eclipse of the sun betokens the approach of the end of the world. Ooh. From the folklore of Adams County, Illinois, we find that an eclipse of the sun is supposed to be followed by five successive days of rain. We also have some interesting folklore tied to eclipses. In the stories of Stormalong, or Alfred Bulltop Stormalong, sometimes also known as Old Stormy, who was sort of the sailing equivalent to John Henry in American folklore, that Stormalong's boat is said to be so large that in his afterlife, when he sails it across the sky, sometimes it passes in front of the sun and causes eclipses. What do you do if an eclipse is bringing something negative into your life? Well, the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, Folklore, and Occult Sciences of the World, edited by Coraline Daniels, says that while the unexpected glimpse of an eclipse signifies a loss, you can forestall any negative eclipse effects by beating your pots and pans loudly and shouting to scare anything away that might unleash wickedness in your home. This is a method we see repeated in both ancient Rome and ancient China as well. Finally, there are some good signs that can come from an eclipse. One says that if you begin a journey on the day after an eclipse, either of the sun or the moon, your trip is bound to be successful. And another says that during an eclipse, all hidden treasures are opened, and if you're wise enough to carry a primrose on you, you will be able to help yourself to any of them. So, happy hunting for both treasures and primroses.
The Witch's Proverb of the Month. The faults of the superior person are like the eclipses of the sun and moon. They have their faults, and all can see them. They change again, and all will look up at them with wonder. A quote from the Analects of Confucius. No!
Our folktale this month is Ragnarok and Regeneration, abridged from the Prose Edda, Penguin Edition, translated by Rasmus B. Anderson. Then said Gangleri, "What tidings are to be told of Ragnarok? Of this I have never heard before." Har answered, "Great things are to be said thereof. First, there is a winter called the Fimbulwinter, when snow dries from all quarters, and the frosts are so severe, the winds so keen and piercing, that there is no joy in the sun. There are three such winters in succession without any intervening summer. But before these, there are three other winters during which great wars rage all over the world. Thus says the Vala's prophecy, brothers will fight together and become each other's bane. Sisters' children, their siblings shall spoil. Hard is the world. Sensual sins grow huge. There are axe ages, sword ages, shields are cleft in twain. There are wind ages, wolf ages, ere the world falls dead. Then what happens will seem a great miracle, as the wolf devours the sun, and this will seem a great loss. The other wolf will devour the moon, and this too will cause great mischief. The stars shall be hurled from heaven. Then it shall come to pass that the earth and the mountains will shake so violently that the trees will be torn up by the roots. The mountains will topple down, and all bonds and fetters will be broken and snapped. Then Fenris Wolf gets loose. The sea rushes over the earth, for the Midgard serpent writhes in giant rage and seeks to gain the land. Then asked Gangleri, what happens when heaven and earth and all the worlds are consumed in flames? When all the gods and all the others and all men are dead? You've already said that all men shall live in some world through all ages. Do any gods live then? Is there any earth or heaven left? Her answered, the earth rises again from the sea, and is green and fair. The fields unsown produce their harvests. Vidar and Vale live. Neither the sea nor Surt's fire has harmed them, and they dwell on the plains of Ida, where Asgard was before. Thither come also the sons of Thor, Mord and Magni, and they have Mjolnir. Then come Balder and Holder from Hel. They all sit together and talk about the things that happened aforetime, about the Midgard serpent and the Fenris wolf. They find in the grass those golden tables which the Asas once had. And thus it is said, Vidar and Vale dwell in the house of the gods when quenched is the fire of Surt. Moda and Magna, Vinyr's Mjolnir shall have when the fight is ended. The story of Ragnarok, the doom of the gods, and apologies for my pronunciation on any of those terms, by the way, gets a lot of attention when people start poking at Norse mythology. Indeed, even in a modern retelling like that found in Neil Gaiman's American Gods, Ragnarok is seen as a final battle in which gods destroy gods and lay waste to the old order of things. While I am not an expert in Norse myth specifically, as, again, my pronunciation probably indicated, I've always found that the emphasis on Ragnarok as a sort of apocalyptic final destination is a little strange. That's because it is just one part of a larger prophecy being sung or spoken by a Völva, a sort of Scandinavian seeress, And there's a lot more in that prophecy. Namely, immediately after Ragnarok comes a period of rejuvenation and regeneration. As the story says, the earth rises again from the sea and is green and fair. This reminds me a lot of the Tower card, which recently someone pulled for me in three separate readings with three separate decks. Normally that makes me nervous, and there were definitely some tumultuous times that followed, but the card that follows the Tower is the Star, a period of peace and restoration. With Ragnarok, it can be tempting to get a little apocalyptic. Similarly, with eclipses, we see the sun devoured by darkness and partly think, this is really cool, while another part goes, it's also kind of eerie. But it's important to remember that all of these are just moments. Eclipse, Tower, Ragnarok, and that something comes after. Something that offers us a new beginning and a chance to start on a new path or create afresh a world in which we wish to live. So enjoy the eclipse this month. It's a phenomenal experience. But also give a thought or two to the days that follow and the world you want to make for yourself, for us, for everyone. What wonders will you create as the shadow passes and the light returns? We'll finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, we're going to talk you through a confusion spell. This is a spell that can verge on being a hex or a curse, but it's largely designed to create a sense of befuddlement in someone that's causing you problems. It doesn't do them any direct harm, but it makes it hard for them to focus on you or whatever issue it is that you'd rather them not think about. To that end, it's the sort of spell that sometimes gets used by those who are skirting legal issues to confuse the minds of law officers, juries, witnesses, and so forth. It's also a spell that can help get someone obsessive or uncomfortably interested in you to leave you alone, and thus can be employed as part of a larger strategy against stalking, but please, please, please get legal and professional help for this too. Stalkers can be extremely dangerous. This spell relies largely on the power of poppies for confusion. This is somewhat related to the poppy's reputation as a mind-clouding drug, since poppies have historically been a source for opium and other opiate drugs like laudanum, heroin, and morphine. It's also due to the fact that poppy seeds are numerous and tiny, and trying to count and pick them up would be an extremely time-consuming task. Thus, it also pulls from some fairy tale lore, in which impossible tasks are frequently assigned to protagonists, in which they must sort out thousands of tiny objects, like the lentils in one version of Cinderella, for example. To do this spell, write your target's name on a square of paper 9 times. Then, in an unbroken circle around their names or at the edge of the paper, in a single sentence, write something like, I am out of your mind, or forget me now. When you have finished, get a fireproof dish like a ceramic bowl. Repeat your phrase about them forgetting you and cross out each of their names as you repeat it. Then put the paper in the bowl and light it on fire, letting it burn to ash. Once you have the ashes, add in a handful of poppy seeds, along with a handful of salt, black or witch's salt is preferred, but coarse salt is fine, and black mustard seeds. You can use white mustard seeds if you need to, but you may wish to heat them up in a skillet or oven to darken them a bit and release their sharp, volatile oils. Mingle all of these together, getting the ashes very well integrated with the seeds and salt grains. You can now use this either as a sort of jar spell, stirring it up occasionally to keep the person confused, which is a mild version of the spell that will leave them in a bit of a vague mental fog. Or alternatively, you can take a handful of this mix and scatter it where you know they'll be sure to walk over it, at a doorway or around their car, for example. This will lead to them being even more confused and may make it hard for them to concentrate on anything at all. Of course, if you want to empower your poppy seeds or any other ingredient under the eclipse this month to give it that extra zing, we're not going to stop you. Just remember to practice safe hex. And that's it for this entry into your New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook, Special Edition Eclipse, April 2024. Thank you so much for joining us this month. We hope that you do enjoy the eclipse. Enjoy it safely and responsibly. Get those fun glasses or do the pinhole version of the projection or even the reflection on water. Although that is, I will say, not always a surefire way to avoid retinal damage. So try to find the safest way to view it that you can. If you would like to help support the show and keep it going, keep these kind of fun episodes on the air, you can do so by going to patreon.com/newworldwitchery, and you can throw $1 a month or whatever you can afford into the hat. It does help us to do a lot of cool things, and you get some cool perks as well. If you want to find out more about this show, any of our other episodes, you can go to newworldwitchery.com, where we have over 200 articles on North American folk magic, as well as over 200 episodes of the podcast backlisted as well. If you want to find us on various social media or any upcoming appearances, upcoming classes, things like that that are going to be happening, you can go to newworldwitchery.com/find-us, and that will give you all the information you need. We hope that you are going to have a great April. We can't wait to be back with you again on our regular episodes. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and be well.